You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
What's up, wily, wise, cracking, wondrous wallabies? Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 194. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your wise-ish Wombats woofing down Whoppers, whiskey, and wagon wheels.
Wow. I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. Oh, the road to 200. The longer than expected road to 200.
Yeah.
It was really twisty and doubled back on itself a few times.
You got lost.
Took a sharp increase there, right there at the end, yeah.
Did you guys notice my Aussie-filled, kind of hinted intro?
A little bit.
I caught a flavor of it.
And wagon wheels, which we have right here. Australian snacks.
Yeah, I noticed there's a whole assortment of Tim Tams and other Australian
cherry ripe.
Yeah.
Freddo.
Treats laid out here in front of us.
Turkish Delight. And wagon wheels that are like moon pies, but with jam in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Because our friend came back from Australia and brought us some of these goodies, along with, I want to share... some Australian facts.
Okay,
this one I've been saving up for a couple weeks now. They produce a lot of ginger in Australia, like ginger farms.
Okay.
So there is a certain pest, and it's not just ginger, but for a lot of like root fruits and plants, like pumpkins and turnips and stuff. There is a type of nematode, which we talk about sometimes on the show. Nematode is like a microscopic worm-like creature. Sometimes I like to go on YouTube and look at like nematode infested animals and they all bust out. Yeah. Anyways.
Ew. Just like when you're falling asleep, you just need something to kind of send you off there.
Relax a little bit. Yeah.
And so there's a nematode called root knot nematode that grows.
Root knot?
Root knot.
Okay.
And what they do is they burrow into like the flesh of ginger or beets or whatever. Really, it messes with the cellular structure and it becomes these like kind of monster nightmare. Like knotty, stringy roots that are like infected. So these ginger look like they have like hair. Because it's all nematodes and like the plant cells are growing around the nematodes, which are worms.
Oh, wait, the hair is the worms with cell like with around the root around it.
Yes.
Like so, like if infected, you cut it open, it's a worm inside.
It's really tiny.
Okay,
it's really tiny. In Australia, they just develop this like special trick, which is they mix molasses into the soil. And so the soil is like sweet like soaked with sweet like molasses sugar and solution. Yes, it does. Molasses soil. Okay. And so the nematodes would then eat the molasses in the soil rather than burrowing to the root. And they can't stop eating.
Of course.
They just keep eating until they die. And then their bodies become fertilizer for the ginger.
That's awesome.
Okay. It's the circle of life.
It's the circle of life.
Sure.
Do they get ants?
Ants eating the soil? Maybe.
Because it's like, you know.
But they're
like
not messing with the crop.
Down.
I mean, if you're a nematode, honestly, there are worse ways to go, right?
You just eat yourself
than
to death.
Actually, that's true.
I don't even think you need to qualify that with if you're a nematode, quite frankly.
Man, nematodes, they gross me out so much, but I'm so fascinated with them. Did I tell you, like, when I was in Alaska, they had the ice on the glacier, it has like a weird pinkish tint. And I asked the musher, the dog sled driver, I was like, why is the snow pink? And they're like, oh, it's an algae that grows. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. And then late at night, there's nematodes that live in the ice and they would burrow up and eat the algae.
That's pretty cool.
And I was like, that's disgusting.
No, it's pretty cool.
But that's pretty cool.
I guess it could be both. It could be both.
There's one where, like, another video I saw, which was of a grasshopper that had a parasite nematode. And what you do is, like, they're not killing the grasshopper, but they submerge it in the affected parts in water. And then it basically drowns the nematode, and it's trying to look for an opening to, like, burst out. And it bursts out from, like, the butt of the grasshopper.
That's gross.
Yeah, grasshopper.
Well, there's a parasite in my brain called trivia.
Does it burst out of your butt? Back.
Yes. Yeah. Only when he's underwater.
Only when he's in the bath.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Way to bring it back.
So that was my cool Australian story.
Okay. So I'm not really in the mood for those Tim Tams anymore. I'll be honest with you, my...
Chocolate, thanks. But...
Desire has waned.
And this brings me to a kind of related big fact. Did you guys hear that we might have a new continent, the eighth continent?
Heard about this. Well, I mean, I heard about this from you, but...
I did. It's a reliable source.
But that's all I know. Yeah, exactly.
I can cite you as a source, Taryn.
Yeah, what's up, Karen?
Zealandia.
Ooh.
Zealandia.
Middle Zealand.
it includes New Zealand. Imagine it... How do I explain it? Imagine it as if there is a continent with the highest peaks of mountains... That is New Zealand above water.
Yeah, like so most of Zealandia is underwater.
Is underwater.
Yeah.
And so that's how it's like that whole landmass is underwater, and New Zealand is the one that pops up above water.
So they're basically like, look, just because it's underwater doesn't mean it's a continent. It's not a continent.
It's not a continent.
Right. If you go underwater, doesn't mean you're not a human.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't become a fish. So, ergo and therefore.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Chris Kohler is not an expert in nautical law.
So what happens now?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think it can be, we can call it, it is, te- it may technically be a continent. It's not like
who
a landmass.
As you say, it's like geologists and politicians, right?
Exactly. Sooner or later, I'm going to do 7 marathons in 7 continents.
Okay.
And I was like, I really want, there's an Easter Island marathon. And I was like, oh, which continent does that belong to? But Easter Island is weird. There are a couple places that just don't belong to any continents, despite... if they're a protectorate of another country or whatnot.
Right. That just doesn't mean they're part of the landmass.
Yeah, right. like geologically, Easter Island didn't... I was trying to figure out, I was like, which continent does this belong to? And there are some places that just don't have continents. And I was like, well, anyways.
So you're going to go...
Antarctica?
Yeah, I'm going to do Antarctica marathon.
This is like collecting video games. It's like when you get like the rarest video game on a console, then it's like, okay, well, I have that, so I'll fill in the whole rest of the set now that I did the hardest thing. First you have to figure out how to run a marathon in Antarctica, and then after that, it's all just downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did it tell us about the Antarctica marathon? Are you running it?
Yeah. Well, in 2020.
Oh, okay.
They only allow 100 people. On the island.
Oh.
And this isn't like the, I don't think I'm running on the, like the polar cap, you know, uh-huh. I'm in that area, there's an island. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is I think you're in Buenos Aires and you take a flight down to like southern tip of Argentina and you take a research vessel.
Yeah, it's a research vessel.
It's really nice. As nice as
you know, the research vessels have. Yeah. I don't need to say anymore.
And then it's like a multi-day trip just to sail to the place to run the marathon. And then you're done.
Then you get out, you run around, and then you come back.
Yeah. And then you see there's like penguins that hang out. There's like whales that hang out. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
That's amazing. Do you race against the penguins, or they have their own time class?
They would just destroy you.
Yeah.
On land, I could take a penguin. No, seriously.
I could take a penguin over 26 miles on land.
In Antarctica.
And I'm not that great a runner. Like, I'm not saying in the water. Like, that thing would get
wet. In Antarctica.
What if you're in a penguin suit? what if I wore a penguin costume?
I assumed that was what you were going to do. I didn't even bring it up. I was like, yeah.
Is that
disrespectful?
What if you wore a penguin? To the penguins? Absolutely. What if you wore a the penguin?
Burgess Meredith as the penguin.
With the nose, the monocle, top hat,
little waistcoat.
I mean,
you got about three years.
What if I become one of them?
They adopt you.
I'm the queen of penguins.
They don't see you. They're like, oh, it's just a penguin.
It's just a really big one.
She's with the penguins now.
All right. Woo. It's a lot of talk. Let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. You guys have all your barnyard buzzers. Let's remind everybody. Chris, you are the rooster.
I am the noble rooster.
Colin.
I'm the humble horse.
I am the courageous cow.
Actually, so this is a total coincidence, but my son, also Chris the younger, he's been reading the Dr. Seuss book, Mr. Brown Can Moo, Can You, which is, in which a man makes a whole bunch of like crazy noises, and he loves it. It's the iPad version, so it reads it to you.
Yeah.
But he thinks that the phrase cock-a-doodle-doo is like the funniest thing in the world.
So I still think like, it's funny.
It, he runs up to me, and he's like, Dad!
He's like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You were there.
Good joke. Funny.
All right, and I have a random Trivial Pursuit card from the box. This is from just normal genus.
Okay.
Standard. And here we go, Blue Wedge for geography. What Scottish castle is the British royal family's longtime summer retreat?
Oh, Scottish castle.
Oh. Chris.
Edinburgh castle?
Incorrect. Colin.
St. Andrews?
Uh-uh.
Windsor?
Uh-uh.
Elephant and Castle?
What is it?
Balmoral?
Oh, Balmoral. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was one of those, like, I would never have guessed it.
Yeah.
Heard of it. Balmoral.
Yeah. Balmoral. Yeah, okay. Very Scottish sounding.
All right. Pink Wedge for entertainment. What gross-out game show did Joe Rogan host? Everybody.
Fear Factor.
Thank you. There was a show that's not Fear Factor, but I remember it was like around the same time. It was like the Glutton Bowl.
Oh.
Where people had to eat a lot.
I don't remember that one.
And they had to eat as many sticks of butter.
Sounds so 90s. Sure. There was just that, yeah, that period
that
where
dare.
It was, yeah.
Salted or unsalted butter. It makes a difference.
Important.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
I can get through about a stick and a half of salted, unsalted.
It doesn't taste good enough to eat a lot.
It just like accumulates layers and layers in your mouth.
Stop.
All right. Okay. We have snacks, you guys. Yellow Wedge for history. What name was given to the political economic reforms made in the 1980s by Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev? Colin.
That was Perestroika?
Yes, Perestroika. Mm-hmm. Purple Wedge for... I forgot what Purple Wedge is. Something. Literature? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
In what field of design would you encounter kerning, tracking, and justify? I'm going to give it to Chris.
Fonts.
We'll give it to him.
Kerning, tracking, and justify.
Field of design.
So like... letter press, like what is this? Typeface?
Typography.
Typography. Okay,
fonts.
Yeah,
we'll give it to you.
Yeah, and fonts.
No, okay.
We know that you know.
Is that what it says on the card? Typography.
It's typography.
Typography.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's Colin's jam.
Yeah, that's Colin's jam.
This
is going to be Chris's jam.
All right.
So I'm not going to call on him. What home video game console introduced in 2006 has wireless motion sensitive controllers that differentiate it from other gaming systems?
The Wii.
I was trying to, we all took a deep breath. I thought it was Y. I'm just saying Y this
whole
time.
The Nintendo Wii. All right. Oh, this is a good one. Last question, wild card. Which deck is higher on a ship? The quarter deck or poop deck?
Oh.
It was 50-50.
The quarter deck.
Incorrect. It is the poop deck.
Dang it.
Why is it called the poop deck?
You know, I was just looking this up the other day.
It's not because of poop.
No, it's not because of actual poop. Yeah. No, it's just
maybe it means something else.
Yeah.
There's another
like an old timey, colorful seafaring word.
I want to look it up. I really want to look it up right now.
Wait. If only.
Pause. I want to look it up. Okay. All right. I Wikipedia.
We sent our research assistant out to the library to look this up.
I looked through the card catalog.
Dusty tome.
I found the Dewey Decimal System.
It's wearing gloves. blow out the dust.
I wrote down the number. I went to the shop. Yeah. And it's so the poop deck is the roof of a cabin built in the rear part of the ship. And the name originates from the French word for stern, la poupe. So, yeah.
Which means poop.
Yeah. No.
No. It means the stern,
of the boat. Is the French word for stern. Yeah, so it's the stern deck. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh, so you built, oh, of course, because you see the boats, they have a little cabin built onto the back of it.
Yeah.
And that's the top of it.
Yeah, it
that's
looks.
That's the poop deck.
I always assume
so that's
like,
taller because it's like the top of a.
Right.
Like on a pirate ship. I think that's where I think the captain would live. Like
In the little cabin.
On the pirate ship.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yep. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So today's episode is 194, the road to 200. It's taken us a long time to get there, but we're getting there. We took a nice scenic route, a detour. Sometimes life is hard and you just have to take a break. So this week we're going to celebrate taking a break by talking about some fun trivia about breaks.
And fun.
And fun.
Diversions. Yeah. Fun. Breaks. Yep. Mm-hmm. Getting away from it all.
Okay, NPR.
That's a funny voice. Okay, Westworld.
Start us off. I have a quiz for you guys called Take a Break. This is about advertising slogans, jingles, music, advertising campaigns. And the common thread for all of these is about taking a break.
Hey, stop working.
Getting away from things, vacation, maybe, travel, you know, treating yourself right. Treat yourself. Take a break. All right, so get your buzzers ready.
Yeah.
Here we go. And buzz on in. For many years, beginning in the 1970s, this restaurant ran ads with the jingle, "You deserve a break today." Dana.
McDonald's.
That is McDonald's. Really? Yes. Yeah. It was a very successful campaign for them.
Did you ever do like that hand clap thing, the big Mac Filet-O-Fish?
Nope.
I'll chant it for you guys. I'll perform it. Big Mac Filet-O-Fish, quarter pound of French fries, icy cold milkshake, sundaes, and apple pie. You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Yeah.
There's a whole hand clappy thing you do as a little kid.
No, I was going to say.
Have you heard that before?
No, I've heard the other one, but this is tangent, but it's relevant. This is a true story that I mentioned on a friend's Facebook page where our fan, Maddie, who was, she's really into Hamilton. She's memorizing a lot of the Hamilton soundtrack.
And Yeah,
when I was your age, I memorized that McDonald's song with listed all the menu items. And as you're doing that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember this because it's like Big Mac. What was the second one? You know why I couldn't remember the second one? Because the second one was McDLTs. So now I got it again because they limited the McDLTs. Big Mac, McDLT, a quarter pounder with some cheese, Filet-O-Fish, a cheeseburger, a hamburger, a Happy Meal with nuggets, tasty golden french fries, regular and larger size salad, chef or garden, or a chicken salad, oriental, big breakfast, egg McMuffin, hot hotcakes and sausage, baby biscuits, bacon, egg and cheese, sausage, Danish, hash browns, 2 and 4 dessert, hot apple pies and sundaes, 3 varieties, a soft serve cone, 3 kinds of shakes and chocolatey cheap cookies, and to drink a Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, a Sprite, a coffee, decaf, orange juice, something. I almost had it.
Oh wow.
Really close.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
But that's not what you were doing. This is a different thing.
This is like you
did
like
I know what you're talking slide. About. It was like a playground thing. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you got the whole hand thing.
Yeah. There's like a, yeah, oh my God.
You
I've
can't
done
see
this
it
so
at
many
home audience.
It's like a patty cake kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of those were alluding to the original campaign that they had in the 70s.
There
you
go.
You deserve a break today. It was a little more soulful. It was more of like a traditional jingle style.
You know, for all I remember my whole life, it's been, I'm loving it.
Yeah. I remember when they changed it to I'm loving it, and I was like, I do not enjoy that.
I'm not loving this.
I'm not loving that.
In Australia, McDonald's is officially called Macca's. M-A-C-C-A.
No, it's not officially.
It is. It's
what?
Registered.
What? Really?
It is on the website. It is on
the
storefront.
Just a thing.
In Australia, M-A-C-C-A registered. Is that weird?
That is really weird.
They get out. They get out in front of that. If they see it, they're like, oh, we better trade. We better trademark this.
That was really impressive.
Thank
Chris.
You. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things where if you memorize it when you're like a child, seriously. And like, I don't know where my keys are. You know?
Like. The third largest airline in the United States is famous for ads and promotions with the tagline "Want to get away?" Karen,
oh, is that the question?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is it Southwest?
It is Southwest Airlines.
Wow, this is the third largest.
Third largest, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's Delta and United are one and two. And then Southwest is the third. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, they're bigger than American.
Because their cheapest fare class is called Wanna Get Away.
Oh, really?
That's how I know. Yeah. Like, yep, that one, because it's the cheapest one.
Since the 1980s, this candy bar has implored you to give me a break. Give me a break. Everyone here.
Kit Kat.
That is Kit Kat. Yes. Kat, yeah. That jingle's been around for a long time.
Kit Kat just wants you to get off its back.
Yeah. Give me a break, man. Give me a break.
But it physically makes sense because you have to break it.
Yeah. You do. Right? It makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Break. Well, in fact, break the next line of the song. Yes, as Dana Kat has bar. It. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a break. Yes.
For several years, this cruise company's slogan was, "It's more than a cruise, it's the love boat."
Whoa.
What cruise line?
That's spelling
so
it out.
Familiar.
Yeah, and this is,
Carnival.
No, not Carnival. And I mean, the hint is that it is because of this cruise line's overt connection with the TV show The Love Boat from the 70s.
I don't know.
And
80s. Norwegian, that's the only.
No. In fact, Dana has it. It was Princess Cruise Lines. Their boats were what the Love Boat boats were.
Oh.
All of the exterior shots, the fly around shots, anytime they showed an actual cruise ship, it was a Princess Cruise Line.
And that must have been a licensed deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Worked out great. Hey, it worked out great for them. Yeah. They incorporated into their advertising. Absolutely. In the 1970s and 80s, commercials for this bath product featured harried housewives pleading, take me away.
Yeah.
Chris.
Calgon.
That is the Calgon line of bath products. Yep. You have it. From the Good Job Brain perspective, for the bonus point here, did you know that that Calgon, the name, is a portmanteau word?
Ooh,
we are big fans of portmanteaus on Good Job Brain. Anyone care to guess or know?
California gonads.
that's amazingly California gonads.
Calm?
No, it's a portmanteau. So of course Calgon, they had a whole line of bath products and things that would relax the life of a harried housewife. Their original product was primarily a water softener. Calgon, it was shortened from calcium gone. Calcium gone.
Wow. Yep,
yeah.
Sure.
Interesting.
Before they moved out into
and
the
we've
wider.
We've totally lost the meaning.
Yeah. Now you said it, it sounds so chemical.
Like you wouldn't want to soak
in that. Yeah. Just marketing, man.
Since 1986, writer, radio host, and voice actor Tom Baudet has been lending his voice to the signature line, "We'll leave the light on for you," for what national hotel chain? Chris has a guess.
I believe that's Motel 6.
That is, indeed. Motel 6. You got it. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The well-known voice of all their radio ads, internet ads now, of course.
I don't get it. Why did they leave the light on?
You know, you're out on the road, you're driving late.
To save money, the lights have no switches.
Just keep it on.
Yeah.
We're actually stealing power from the city, so we can't turn that light off.
It's like in the middle of the night, if you need a place to stay,
you can
go there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll
exactly.
You
got Yeah. Don't worry, weary traveler, we will leave the light on for you.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, last one, last question here. All right, this is a true or false. You can each answer here. True or false?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Part of the reason that United Airlines uses George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue in its advertising is because the song is in the public domain.
Oh.
And therefore virtually free of charge. True or false? True or false? We all know the song. They've been using it for years, and
cool song.
Yeah, it's a great tune, and still I associate it with United.
Yeah, I always associate.
But is that in fact part of the reason?
I say false.
Karen says false.
I feel like it's a trick. Like, I want to say false because it's a great song, but why ask this question? I'll say true.
I'll say false. Okay. Bonus here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, one way or the other, I'm trying to trip up one of you. It is false.
Yeah.
However, it would have been true if Congress had not extended the copyright term by 20 years in 1998.
Right.
So currently the term of copyright is 95 years, meaning that they're not that song, which was written or that, you know, orchestral piece written in 1924, still covered by copyright until 2019.
So I was actually going to say false because of the copyright thing.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't that old. He's not 1800s.
So, you know, among with numerous other creative works from that era, you know, not just Rhapsody in Blue, but also Superman, you know, things like that, of that vintage.
Mickey Mouse would
be covered by this extension. That's right. Yeah. So in 1998 was the last time Congress passed a major extension. But if they hadn't passed that, then yes, Rhapsody in Blue would have passed into public domain usage.
So that means United is paying.
They are still paying the estate of, yes, of the Gershwin family.
Okay. Play that song. Wow.
Yep.
Well, it's a cool, good song.
It is. I'm safe to say it's worth whatever they're paying.
Yeah, because now it's like I grew up as a kid with it, and it's like that song is, for me, always United Airlines song.
All right. Well, you guys earned that break. Good job.
We take a break now.
Right now.
That was the
break. Right now.
This is the break.
The break is now over.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Woo!
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
We've talked about this before, but I'm a video game designer.
Yeah!
I've heard that.
Yeah, a big part of my job is thinking about what's fun, and how to define fun, how to make things fun, how to help other people make things fun. So when people ask me, okay, how do we make a fun video game? Like, this isn't fun. Why is this not fun? There's like a lot of tools you can use, a lot of different lenses you could look through to figure out why something's not fun. You're like, you know, you have to look at goals and progression and feedback. But I think one of the most important things to look at when you're trying to make a fun game for somebody is flow. There's this concept called flow, and it was developed by a psychologist called, he has a tricky name. And I've had professors who couldn't get his name right. I watched a YouTube video earlier. Okay. And it had 174 thumbs up and 2 thumbs down. So I think this is the right way to say the name. His name is Mihai, that's his first name. Cheeksentmihalyi.
Where's that name from?
I believe he's Israeli.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so flow. What is flow? Flow is this this feeling of ecstasy when you're so engrossed in a task that you kind of forget that you have a body. You forget you exist. You're just really, really super focused. Do you guys ever get into flow?
Yeah.
When Colin and I used to play in the office We would try to Gold Star Rock Band songs.
Yeah.
Him on drums, me on guitar, and we wouldn't even talk. Like, we're on expert level, and we're just staring at the TV and just like,
That's a great example. Yeah.
Don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, it's that feeling of in the zone, I would say. Yeah.
You forget to eat. You don't have to go to the bathroom. Like, you don't move for hours. Like, you look up all
this
of the
time. This sounds bad, but it's really good.
Like, you feel so good. And I mean, honestly, some of the, like, the one major criticism of flow is that it's addictive. It's really addictive once you get it. But very successful people get into flow all the time. Very successful creative people. Like Martha Stewart, for example, is somebody they say gets into flow all the time with her projects, where she'll just sit there and go to town making a thing, figuring it out. So how do you get into flow? What is flow? Flow is this balance between your skill level and the level of challenge. So you're trying to come up with a challenge that is a little bit harder than their top skill. Like, if you make it too much harder,
it's not fun.
Mm. It like makes them feel really anxious, frustrated. They'll quit. If you make it too easy, it's boring. Why are you doing this? So like your rock band example is perfect, where you guys are trying to Gold Star. It's hard, but you guys are very good at it. And you're like, no, it's wrong. I got to do it again.
Yes!
Yeah. It's attainable. It's attainable.
The funniest thing is the people who walk by and like, it looks, we're really standing there not talking or smiling. And it doesn't look like we're having fun playing rock band, but we are. We're like, we got to Gold Star this today.
That's a key part of making a fun game, is coming up with challenges that are slightly more than their skill. And then once they develop the skill and they can master it, it gets a little bit easy and that gives them a break. And then you give them another challenge that's like slightly harder.
Just always kind of dangling the carrot just in front of you.
Just a little bit. And so sometimes it's like a, yes, I'm winning. And sometimes it's like, oh, I almost won. I wish I, one more try. Flow. I wanted to tell you guys about that. And that was Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. Is the psychologist who discovered this.
Man, you just described every game on my iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, it's really
just one more try.
So this came out of studying creative like habits or games in particular?
It actually came out of studying people who are very successful at what they do.
Mm.
He was interviewing people and they would describe losing themselves in the task that they were working on. They would be like, this composer would say, the best feeling is when I'm composing, I'm writing, and it's like my hands don't even belong to me anymore. And you're just like transcendent.
As a writer, you have to get into that state, or else it's really going to be really painful to try to write something. You know, you have to get into that state where like the words are coming out very quickly and you forget what you're doing kind of. Yeah.
Cause it's so natural or it's so from the.
You have to figure out a way to get yourself there because otherwise it's going to be a really like, you know, word by word painful process.
He was talking about a poet who was describing how he gets into flow, and it's like this door opens and you just like let yourself drift through it. And if you think about the outside world or you think about the door, it's not like you won't make it through, but you're just, it's like meditation. Really. Yeah. Like you're trying to get to like,
No, seriously, this rock band thing is like the best example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly.
I'm not even like thinking what to press with my fingers.
That's
it just
happens.
Yeah. Yep. That's a really well-tuned game.
I bet a lot of musicians would describe the same feeling too.
Not playing fake instruments.
Hey, I mean, I was there with you. It was very real in the moment. It was. It's just any sort of process-oriented task.
You're playing the drums?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like playing the drums.
Yeah, true. I'm not playing a real guitar. I'm pressing.
Definitely
button.
Not. Yeah.
Real musicians and fake musicians.
Well, now next time I'm going to be more conscious of like when I'm in the zone.
You won't be. You can't do it.
It's the don't think of an elephant game.
Yeah.
I'm a decent touch typist, right? I've had you know training and classes over the years, but I've never really worked hard at being formally good at typing. Right. But if I'm not thinking about it, I can actually type perfectly well. I can have a really good flow. As soon as I start to think about I get really disfluent with my typing, and I can't fall back on my fundamentals, and I kind of just freak out. So for me, typing is kind of like that.
As soon as you realize you're in flow, you're out of flow.
Yeah.
We talk about falling into Wikipedia holes. Man, I was like looking up opal. Like, why do opals look like opals? Then I read the Wikipedia. Then I would like fell into, oh, it's the structure of the spheres inside the minerals.
Yeah.
Then I went on Etsy, be like, oh, I wonder what kind of opals there are for sale. What is me one, yeah. you know, then I'm doing appraisal. Like, what? It's just like, at the end, I was like, oh my God, what did I just do for the last 4 hours? Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
You're I think sometimes when we're playing trivia, we're in flow. Like, we're answering these questions and we're like, it's challenging, but we're like, we're humming along. Weird. And those are the good nights. Yeah.
Yep.
It's strange that how that challenge kind of equates to fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
If it's not challenging enough, it's why are we doing this? What is this about?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, thing it, purpose is part of it, too. Like, there's a lot of different...
Achievements.
Yeah,
man.
So purpose.
Grinding.
Collecting
yeah.
stuff.
Not in flow. You're like, I'm going to have a snack now. Like, come back to this. Right. Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
I have a musical quiz. Everybody's favorite kind of quiz.
All right.
Is it everybody's favorite? It's my favorite.
It's your favorite. Yeah. It's Karen's favorite kind of quiz. Musical quiz. I have clips from 8 popular songs.
Wow.
Okay.
And you 8 songs.
Are these Chris's favorite songs? Are these like,
no, you know what? There's no Fleetwood Mac. I promise you this time there's no Fleetwood Mac, right. No John Denver, no James Taylor, no Beach Boys, no Elton John, but there are some of my other favorite artists in here too.
All right.
But you'll probably hear them when they come up. So I'm going to play you a clip of a popular piece of music. You are going to tell me the artist.
All right.
Okay. Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Yes. So here we go with the yes. Wait.
Oh, is there
now,
a theme?
Is there a theme, Chris?
Dana, do you want to see if there's a theme?
Is there a theme?
There is, Dana. There is a theme. And in fact, I didn't say it. Everybody's grabbing their buzzers. I think this will be
write down.
Okay.
Music quiz. And so everybody's going to write it down so we'll truly see who the music master is today. And then also, for the bonus point at the end, and maybe this will help somebody make a comeback. There is, in fact, a theme.
Okay.
So you write down the theme.
Okay.
All right, so everybody is ready with their pens and paper, and I will play you the first clip.
Okay.
This is clip one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's see everybody's answers. Dana says Smashing Pumpkins. Colin says Smashing Pumpkins. And Karen says Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, yes, do we get indeed. Bonus points for pictures? I'm sorry, I didn't ask earlier.
No bonus points for pictures this time around, unfortunately.
All right.
There's still that matter of the overarching theme.
Okay.
Yes. As a tiebreaker. So everybody is on the board with one. Here is musical clip number two. Remember, I'm looking for the artist. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see some answers. Colin says Pat Benatar. Dana says Pat Benatar. And Karen says Pat Benatar. Yes, and it is Love is a Battlefield is the name of the song. Okay. Tonight, Tonight was the name, by the way, of the Smashing Pumpkins number.
Note that he's telling us the song titles.
Yeah.
Just throwing that in there. Just, okay. I'm just making an observation. Let's make an observation.
Time for some game theory.
Okay.
Okay, so here's clip number 3. maybe an unfamiliar song, but perhaps a familiar voice. Mm-hmm. Trying to name the artist here. Let's have our answers up. Karen says Paul McCartney. Dana says John Lennon. And Colin says Wings with a question mark at the end. So indeed, I do have to go with it is, in fact, the artist is Paul McCartney.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Paul McCartney, the song Come On People. That's C apostrophe M-O-N.
All right.
People, if you're writing it down.
Okay.
Paul
Why
McCartney.
Are we writing it down, though?
Well, you're all writing it down. I didn't tell you to write it down, but everybody's writing it down for reasons.
It helps.
I've been writing down everything you've said the whole show.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Stenographer.
Yeah.
That's good.
Here is clip number 4.
She can't sew.
Colin says that was Meatloaf. Dana says question marks. Karen says Meatloaf. Sadly, you are all incorrect. It is Aerosmith.
Oh,
that is
really?
Aerosmith. Mm. Walking the dog.
Wow.
Aerosmith. Wow. Walking the dog. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I for sure thought the voice was Meatloaf.
Huh. Here is clip. We're halfway through with a halfway point to this musical quiz.
Okay.
Remember, there's an overarching theme to these songs. So far, you have heard Smashing Pumpkins, Tonight Tonight, Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield, Paul McCartney, Come On People, C apostrophe M-O-N, People, and Aerosmith's Walkin' the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Here is clip number 5. There's a very familiar song for you, but do you know the artist? Colin says it's Peebo Bryson. Dana says it's Christopher Cross. And Karen says Peebo Bryson. Incorrect. It's actually Boz Skaggs.
Oh, Boz Skaggs, big time singer from
the 70s. He sang the song We're All Alone.
He had other hits, yes. too. Oh, really? Okay. Yep, yep, yep.
All
right.
Yep. We're All Alone.
Boz Skaggs, We're All Alone. Here is another familiar voice for you. Hopefully you guys can play it here.
San Francisco native Boz Skaggs.
Well, there we go.
Sorry. I stopped.
Sounds like a Monsters, Inc. character.
Yeah.
Again, here is clip number 6. Mm-hmm.
Recall their faces haunt me still. All the pretty girls I've never kissed and never will.
Colin says that was Frank Sinatra. Dana says Frank Sinatra. And Karen says Frank Sinatra. You are all correct. That is Frank Sinatra, The Girls I Never Kissed.
Hmm.
Coming up in the last two here, here's clip number 7.
Okay.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
That's it?
That's what
you either get that one or you don't.
I cut that off at the end because it's really annoying when you don't hear the kick in. It's really it's a lot of tension and no release. Karen says that was Kansas.
Oh.
Dana says that was America, and Colin says it was Styx. Only Karen is correct.
No,
that
was
Guitar Hero.
Very on the
Europe. Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah.
Yes, the name of the song being Carry On My Wayward Son.
Yeah. Okay.
Here is the 8th and final clip.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the 8th and final clip.
All right.
Sometimes you're breathing fire.
And some nights are cold and nice. Some nights are like nothing I've ever seen before. We'll again. Maybe I'm crazy. Oh, it's crazy and it's true. I know you can save me. No one else can save me.
Somebody mentioned earlier in the the quiz. Colin says meatloaf. Dana says meatloaf. Karen says meatloaf. It is meatloaf. Yeah. I'd do anything for love. Parentheses, but I won't do that. Those are your eight. So let's see how we are doing. By the way, can everybody honor system tally up your points?
Oh, just by because of the bands.
I think I have five.
Colin's got five. Dana's got four.
Mm-hmm. No. Four.
Oh, four.
Yeah. Six.
Oh. Yeah.
She got
so Karen is and... so Karen is unbeatable here.
I gave myself half a point for wings, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I gave myself.
Not a thing we're
no,
doing.
I gave myself half a point for wings. Hey, you were the one asking for drawings counting.
He said
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I just didn't ask, so I assumed. Yeah.
You now all get the chance to think about and write down what you believe the theme is.
All right.
And if nobody gets it, maybe I'll give you some hints. Maybe some listeners at home have picked up on the theme.
So they're all male lead singers except for Pat Benatar.
Okay. See, that's it. That was the theme. All male lead singers except Pat Benatar.
I think knowing Chris, it's more of a puzzle theme. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why like the titles, like the words of the titles would spell out something, like another song title or something.
It has to be a theme that ties. It has to be a ties into break. The theme of the show somehow.
Fun,
break, escape.
Well,
something.
Smashing Pumpkins broke up.
Yeah, maybe breaking up.
Yeah,
break up.
Every band breaks up.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Frank Sinatra. I mean,
yeah, didn't break up with himself.
Buzz Skaggs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason that he was very keen on us knowing the titles means that the titles matter.
There is a finite set of things that I had to pull from, but the number is arbitrary.
Okay.
Yeah. The titles are not entirely meaningless, but the titles are only meaningful when the title intersects with words in the lyrics of the song that you heard. Here are the lyrics specifically that I wanted to call out in each song.
Okay.
Believe in me, we are young, come on. Walking the dog, all alone, all the pretty girls, carry on, and some nights.
Are they all song titles from another artist?
Uh-huh.
Is it James Taylor?
No.
Is it Fleetwood Mac?
No.
Is it Adele?
No.
Carry on.
Some nights.
I'll tell you if you want me to tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Those are all...
Elvis.
Very popular singles released by the band Fun.
Oh my god, yes! Wow!
Wait, all of those were popular by the band Fun?
Well, they're all by the band. They're all singles.
Okay.
They were released as singles and played on the radio.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. I only know two songs from them that's on the list. Oh my god.
Oh, you mean Fun period.
Fun period.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Fun
guess,
dot.
I guess the whole thing.
Wait, can you go through the Fun songs again?
Yes. Believe in Me was a song for them. We Are Young. Very good.
Yes, yes.
Come on. C'MON. Walking the Dog. All Alone. All the Pretty Girls. Carry On. And then, of course, Some Nights.
Got it. That's why you say there's a finite pool of songs. You could,
this took a lot of research. Good job.
Oh, thanks. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a lot of research.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought you had it.
By the band Fun.
Yeah. By the band Fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Fun. Like our
fun period.
Theme.
Like the theme of the show, which is fun.
Fun.
Okay. Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All right. Well, I got a last quiz about fun breaks, and obviously, I've been traveling a lot for races, and I'm gonna travel even more. And so, I compiled some interesting, fun airplane questions for you.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. Buzzers at the ready.
Okay.
Our last
all about fun flying.
About flying.
Okay.
All right. Where, what city has the busiest airport in the world? Oh, Colin, you seem like you know this. Colin.
London, England.
Incorrect. They do have high combined of the several airports activity, okay. But the one airport. Mm.
Is it Los Angeles?
No, it is not Los Angeles.
Is it in Europe?
It is not in Europe.
Is it in Asia?
It is in America. It's in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh.
Colin.
Chicago.
Charlotte.
It is Atlanta. Okay. Atlanta has won the title of busiest airport or most passengers going through for the last 10 years.
Well, Atlanta is Delta's hub.
Hub.
Yeah.
And they're one Hartfield? Of the biggest.
Is that Hartfield? Atlanta?
Yes, it is. It is Hartfield Jackson Atlanta International Airport. Wow. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two.
Charlotte is a big hub.
Is Beijing.
Yeah.
Okay. And number makes three sense. Is Dubai. So, yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. Atlanta.
Atlanta. LAX is the worst airport I've been to.
It's big. It's got to hit a lot. All right.
Oh, tangent.
Yes.
They finished the remodeling at Terminal 4 at JFK, and the urinal flies are still there.
Oh, yay! Yeah. I saw them. I saw them when I came through JFK this past October, actually. Yep. Yeah.
I like these urinal fly JFK updates.
Yeah. Stickers, by the way.
Urinal fly update. I think the urinal flies have survived.
I was going to snap a photo, but, not surprisingly, it draws a little undue attention. You whip out your cell phone and start taking photos of the urinal in a men's room. Yeah.
Yeah, I
don't do that.
Well, when I do it first, I take a couple of my junk just to throw them off the scent.
Sure,
and then I sneak a photo of the urine.
It's like an establishing shot.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know what urinal flies are,
oh yes, of course. It's a little fly etched onto the porcelain of the urinal. When guys see it, they just automatically want to aim at it.
They get into flow,
and if they begin, figuratively, and they put the fly in such a position so that it minimizes splashback out of the urinal.
Mm-hmm. All right. In September 1999, a woman named Kathy Bloom, a passenger traveling from San Jose, California, became the first person to do what?
September 99.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First person.
A passenger traveling from San Jose, California, became the first person to do what?
Hmm. Where she was going?
No. Where she was going doesn't matter.
Use in-air Wi-Fi.
No.
Something we do all the time.
Something we now do almost
99. So it can't be a phone call. Yeah, you said Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Can't be.
She played a game on her phone. No.
Punch out a flight attendant.
Something we all do now.
This is something we do.
Huh, 99. The Wi-Fi was not a bad guess.
Now, is where she was going relevant?
Not relevant.
Okay.
Something she phoned on the plane?
No, the clues are 99, and also 99. She's flying from San Jose.
First person to use a Furby on the airplane.
We all do it all the time.
Yeah. First person to check in online.
First person to check in Kathy Bloom, first person to check in online and get her boarding pass online.
Nice.
And it was Alaskan Airlines that introduced this. And then she was doing some high-tech work traveling from San Jose to Alaska, which makes a lot of sense.
Got it.
1999. Now it's like no one even gets the paper tickets anymore. Unless you have to travel internationally and you have to check bags.
They don't want you to check in there.
Yeah. Some airlines charge you for doing it in person. Oh, Ryanair. Really? Yeah. All right. Another first. In 1979, Texas International Airlines, which doesn't exist anymore, was the first airline to roll out what feature for customers?
What year?
1979. And Texas International Airlines is they travel elsewhere outside of Texas, but it's mostly for people to travel within Texas.
1974?
79.
in-flight movies.
Incorrect.
No, they had that. And really? It seems
projection.
It seems too early for like personal
service
video.
Without...
It's a feature for customers.
Okay.
The telephone in the seat.
No.
In-flight shopping.
No, it is the first airlines to introduce frequent flyer program.
Oh.
1979, because the people who use Texas International Airlines would fly from like one end of Texas to another. For business meetings, they fly all the time.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I love them.
I know you do.
I love points and rewards and loyalty. All right, we're going to end this episode with a couple of questions about what planes look like.
Oh.
What is the name?
They got wings and wheels.
I got this one.
It looks like a big Tylenol.
You have to buzz in, Colin.
It's a big, pretty white plane.
A big Tylenol. Yeah. That is good. What do you call the design on a plane? Colin.
I believe it's the same term that you use for like race cars, which is the livery.
Yes. It is a livery.
Okay.
So same thing, you know, I call it skin. I don't know.
Right.
Buses have, you know, like the special, or trains sometimes have the special skins on them. They're called liveries.
Yeah.
And for airlines, that's a lot of like their logos on the tail, the color scheme.
Yeah.
Liveries. All right. So here are all questions about liveries on planes. Interesting ones.
This pops up in pub quiz a lot. It really does.
And it's like, we know this made the news. This keeps on making the news because it's like interesting that EVA Airlines, which is a Taiwan-based airlines, has a fleet of Hello Kitty planes. Where the whole, the body of the plane has Hello Kitty on it. The food you get is Hello Kitty themed. There's Hello Kitty like pillows and everything. What airline has and is going to release more Star Wars jets.
Oh.
Star Wars themed planes. Some have been in operation, but there is going to be more.
Will you give us a hint? Is it an American carrier?
It is not an American carrier.
Really?
Okay. Yes. There the three main jets. There's the R2-D2 jet, the BB-8 jet, and they're about to release the C-3PO jet. And this is like, even in the flight, the cups, the napkins, the little headrest.
JAL, Japan Airlines.
You are very close.
Huh. ANA?
ANA.
Ah!
All Nippon. Nippon Airways. It is very cool.
The other big Japanese international.
Yeah.
They're the cabins.
Oh, wow.
The lighting looks like lightsabers. One side is blue, one side is red. It's very, very cool. And they have very limited places that you can go. It's mostly within Asia, but there is, I think you can fly the BB-8 from Tokyo to Seattle, I think, is the only U.S.
And
one.
Every flight attendant on these is dressed like Jar Jar Binks.
Puts everybody in a bad mood.
Name two airlines, or name one. Collectively, let's name two. Name two airlines that have non-bird animals on their logo livery. Oh, Colin.
Qantas.
Qantas is one. What does it have on its livery?
It's got, you know, the Australia beast. It's the kangaroo, right?
Yes, the kangaroo.
Yes.
Non-bird animals on their logo livery.
That's not international. Hawaii is just a lady, but women are animals.
Non-human, non-bird.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you. Qantas is probably the main one.
Okay.
There's a lot of... local South African lines that Springbok. I mean, I was looking up weird animals on liveries, and they're mostly all birds, which makes sense.
It does.
It's an airplane
flying in the sky.
It's right there. It's right there.
And is this like? What does this remind you of?
Yeah.
An elephant. Yeah. No.
And graceful. To piggyback on your answer, what does Qantas stand for? Qantas. This is a major Australian airline.
I believe it is Queensland and Northern Territories Air Service.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That sounded right.
That's nice.
Northern Territories Air Service.
That's why you trivia. That's a good trivia abbreviation there.
Last question.
Acronym.
What U.S. airline held a contest in 2016 called Paint the Plane, where local students were invited to design a plane livery that best captures the spirit of the airline.
Huh.
The winning design was a student combined illustrations of a lot of iconic imagery with the tagline, this is the clue,
mm-hmm.
we're all pulling together.
Oh.
We have to guess the airline?
Yeah.
Versus we're all pulling together?
Hmm. Oh,
Colin.
United? Like we're pulling, we're united, we're pulling yeah, together? I don't know. Sense. I thought maybe that was the clue.
Think like physically, like literally.
Pulling together.
Here's another hint. One of the iconic imagery on the plane of the winning design had dogs in it.
Oh.
Oh, ha ha ha.
Chris.
Alaska Airlines.
Alaska Airlines. Yeah. And this isn't the first time. They did a lot of these like design a plane competitions, and they yeah. would they hired artists to paint the plane, and the it was for the 50th statehood of Alaska. And so the tail was a musher, which was a dog sled driver. And then the nose of the plane is also a dog.
Oh, with like whiskers and dog.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like nice. It's very cool. Well, good job, you guys. That was my airline quiz.
Wow.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about fun dot songs, fun singles, I guess, flow, about taking a break, and about airlines. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week. Ooh, it's all quiz.
Bye. Bye.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.